This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Put times in your presence, Lord. But nothing can compare to that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the next few moments that we can just spend in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this daughter of yours, Lord, and I just sense, Lord, that you say this morning as we were singing this last song that God says that he wants to be the one underneath you with his wings to uplift you in times of sorrow, in times of tiredness, and when you grow weary, that God says, I'm there. And I just see how you hold on to him, and God says, I'm so pleased that you hold on even in times of sorrow, even in times when you feel that, God, I cannot do it anymore, that God says this morning, I'm so pleased, and even though you had little strength that you were holding on, and therefore I will open a door before you. See, I've set before you a place that you would walk into a new ground, a new places, Lord. Father, thank you this morning. Your word says in Revelation, Lord, that you've opened that door, Lord. Even though she was weak, even though there was moments just to let go, Lord, that she held unto you, and you say this morning, oh God, that you're so pleased. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Jesus. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for this brother, Lord. And the Lord says you're a mighty man of God. He says you're a mighty man of God, and a mighty man of God knows how to bow his knee. And Father, this morning, I thank you, Lord, that his strength is in you, that his humility will be in front of him, Father, that he will pursue you like never before. Father, I pray for a fire inside of him that will devour him, Lord, that will devour everything, Father, that is not from you, Father. Father, I pray for a complete surrender more than ever before in his life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, like as a Gideon, Lord, that he saw himself, Lord, as insignificant, but this morning you say you are significant in the kingdom. You've got value to me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you place him, Lord, you place mighty men around him as well, Lord Jesus, to keep him accountable, Lord. But Lord, that he will speak into others, Lord, in Jesus' name. Raise him up as a mighty man, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ella. Thank you. I'm going to take off my watch. Does that mean anything? Nothing. You want to untie myself here. If you give me just a few minutes. I didn't say how much is few. My perception of few and your perception of few is different. So I'll play it safe here. But I want to share with you some thoughts around the harvest this morning. We were talking about the harvest last weekend. Those of you who have been here. It's been an amazing weekend. Huh? I can say that. And please don't miss the next convergence. It's only going to be in 2 years. You'll have to wait another 2 years. Yeah, we do it every second year at the moment. It might change back to 1 year. But there are certain key moments, certain turnoffs, you know, when God takes us and dear to us all around. And that forces us continuously to rely upon the Holy Spirit, you know, to remain with him. And what I constantly see is because we attach to systems and we have certain perceptions about church and meetings and things, we miss those moments, you know. I had it last year as well. Many came back after God moments like last weekend, you know, and they said, oh, we wish we could have that. But it forces us continuously to seek the Spirit of God, to walk with God and to not miss those moments. I really want to encourage you, you know, there are some amazing moments still coming up this year, and I'm not trying to fill rooms here this morning. I'm just saying we want to get into those moments in the God encounters, because those God encounters position us for growth moments, and I'll share with you amazing God encounter a little bit later what happened, you know, when somebody was just sharing after the first service. So we were talking about this harvest. And we're probably going to talk about the harvest representing or speaking of the lost out there. And I know if you've been in church, you've probably heard this a lot. And I just trust God that we just bring something fresh in our spirit, do something new here. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to touch a little bit on that today. I'm going to touch next week as well on the seven things that Paul would have said to us about the harvest. So I'm only going to touch on the first three. We didn't have time for that. But before we go into that, you know, I thought about it this past week. My grandfather used to make a lot of furniture from wood. He was very crafty and skillful, you know, and so he used to do all those kind of things. And then when he finished something, when it was a table, or even when he was a kasi or something, anything, he would just write his name at the back there underneath somewhere in pencil and the date underneath there as well. His byname was Blom, Jan Blom. Okay, English people, Jan Flower. Doesn't sound the same. And his surname was Ekstien. Oh, he would write it down there and then underneath Jan Blom Ekstien, 16 January 1984. And we still have some of that furniture that he made, which says something that he contributed to that. Now, in our house, back in our house there in our kitchen, some time ago, about 2 years ago, wanted to make a bigger dining table for people just to sit around the table. I just love it, you know, when a lot of people come together and we have a massive table. So we couldn't find one big enough, so we had to make one that can fit in there, and we tried to make one with a 12-seater. And but whenever people come around, my wife would say, oh, Jaco made the table. But the reality is if we had to turn around the table and if there was a name written on there, it would probably sound something like Daryl and Jaco with a lowercase. Daryl in capital letters, because this woman that's sitting here normally in the front in the first service, I've learned so much from him, you know. I can't tell you how much I've learned from just on that level. You know, sometimes it's just amazing that God gives us so many people around us that we just impart into our lives. It's the beauty of generations. It's the beauty of a church. And this is just normal life here, what I'm talking about, you know. And you think about, I sometimes would have sat with him and I thought, you know, where did you get that idea? And how did you? And then you realize there's something that only age can give you. And that's wisdom. You can say amen. All the old people can say amen today. I won't look, we're saying amen. But it's true. Huh? If you walk wisely over years, you gain that wisdom, and we are called to impart that to the next generation, spiritually speaking as well. So, you know, I look at the table and I'm like, wow, thank you. We have this nice dining table because of somebody that helped me. And I was the little one that's probably just doing this, yeah, do that for us, do this and that. And talking about the harvest as well, if we would say to one another, would be the best example this morning in terms of Scripture? And I'm not talking about Jesus now. Jesus is the ultimate, always going to be the ultimate. He's the perfect one. But when we talk on a human level this morning, would be the guy we would sit down with and say, listen, can we have a cup of coffee? I think Paul is by far, to me, the one we would sit down and say, listen, can we talk about the harvest for a moment? Huh? Seven things Paul would say probably to us about the harvest. If we were able this morning to call Paul back and say, Paul, please have a seat there, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and please talk to me about the harvest. Now, before we go there, let me just give you his CV. Paul planted more than 20 churches, what we can see in Scripture. A lot we don't, I mean, remember, it's only certain parts that's written. A lot we don't know. But what we know as well that from those churches, a lot of other churches started. In Ephesus, they were filled with churches. And out of that, you know, how many men and women came out of a result of Paul's impartation with them? The Timothys, the Titus, and we can carry on and on and on. So many of them, Paul mentioned so many names there that he was imparting and he was busy transforming a generation. He was busy transforming a nation. And I'm not saying it's just Paul. I'm just saying Paul and many others. But his name is so significant there. And more than that, you know, what Paul did was so profound that even the mighty Roman Empire had to bow their knee and turn over into Christianity later. I mean, there's a whole story about that. But he left the kind of DNA that he received from somebody else anyway, which was Christ's DNA, which we're supposed to have this morning and we're supposed to impart. And it's important for us as a church for one moment just to sit down and just ask ourselves, I mean, before we run out there, wouldn't we just ask somebody that's been there before? Before I make the table, Maybe I should just sit down with somebody that's done this before. Now, if we use that example of the analogy of the table, and Paul was saying this, listen to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And I was contemplating upon the scripture this morning before the time and just reading through my notes. And I mean, I had the scripture, but then suddenly the scripture kind of arrested me for a moment. Paul said here, listen to that, by the grace of God, I want you to listen carefully, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It sounds almost like there's two voices speaking here. In the one way, Paul would say, listen, I did more than all of you. And he would probably say that to all of us in this room. I labored more than all of you here. Just settle it. But his grace towards me was not in vain. And that part arrested me. See, God has called all of us. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 and 10. 8 and 9 talks about, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God which was given to you. Huh? We spoke about that, Rick Russo touched on that last weekend. But then he continues in verse 10 about the good works that God has prepared beforehand. Listen, beforehand. Do you honestly believe this morning that there are good works that were prepared for you? Not for us as a church, but when we come together, that's combined. But for you. Good works that were prepared for me beforehand that I should walk in them. That I should walk in. And the moment I meet Christ, Christ introduced me to the good works so that he can get that he is glorified. Paul said the exact same thing. He said, I did more than all of you, but yet it was not I, but the grace of God which was working in me. So here's the thing which I've kind of figured out here. God calls us out of the world into him. He prepares, or he already prepared those works beforehand in eternity for all of us. You've got a list there, and I guess one day we'll get to heaven and say, okay, let's take out your list that were prepared for you beforehand. Because we won't only be judged according to what we did, but what we were called to do. That is challenging. That is, to me, very daunting in a way. The responsibility upon you and me to find out what were those good works is not an easy one. A lot of people, they come to Christ and then we just have a ride. We're just going to enjoy presence. And I don't want to be distracted here. But Paul would say, listen, that grace that God was giving me, because here's the thing, there's good works prepared beforehand for me and you. But in order to do those things, in order to get to those places, we need the grace of God. We cannot do this in our own strength. And Paul says, that grace which was bestowed upon me, which was given to me, was not in vain. And that is the part that arrested me. That was the part that I was contemplating on this morning. I said, God, but that grace that you've bestowed, that you've channeled through to me, I don't want that to be in vain. I want to use every moment, every bit of that grace, so that I can do what you've called me. Isn't that amazing when Paul writes that? He is not arrogant when he says to the people, listen, I've done more than you all. Just keep quiet. But at the same time, I have to say, it's not me. It's God through me. See, that's when you realize, when you become powerful, when you realize there's so many great things. I say great things, not for ourselves, but that God be glorified. And Paul would sit down and he would say that to the church of Corinthia. Now, Paul is actually saying that in the same analogy with the table, that, listen, God chose to write us into his story. Why am I saying this? He says, by the grace of God, I did that. Through the grace of God. So, what does Jesus do? He says to me and you, listen, I'm always going to be the one with a capital letter. You know the comparison I have with Daryl. I'm always going to be the one that it's all about. But, there's a but here. But I want to choose, or I'm going to choose, and I'm going to write you into the story, in part of this. Don't you want to join me? But remember, it's lowercase. Christ is always the center. It's by God's goodness. It's by God's goodness, that's the only reason he chooses to involve us in becoming part of that. And now we're part of the story, but the joy and everything is not about us, but it's about Christ. But somewhere under the table, somewhere under the story, you will hear Christ. And why did he write in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase? There are several parties in that story. but God gave the increase. It's always going to be God. But God chooses to make us part of the story. Now, just imagine we have Uncle Paul here for a moment. Huh? And we would sit down with Paul and ask Paul, "Paul, listen, tell us a little bit more about the harvest." I think the first thing Paul would say to me or to us, which I see in Scripture and we see in his readings, and I stuck to his writings as I was preparing, it's probably something like this. I'm going to make a statement here. You will always have something to sow. You will always have something to sow. Now, I speak to people quite often as a result of what I'm doing, but I know you do as well. And you know what? There are two things that people always tell me. When you talk about the kingdom of God, when you talk about dreaming, about good works, about where we're going, about what still needs to be done, you know what the first thing people tell you? I'm just too busy. God's got a lot of busy people. You wouldn't believe it. I can just tell you this. Let me tell you the secret. God's got so many busy people here. He's got a problem. And then the second thing people would tell you, oh, my part is not that significant. And with those two lies, he keeps people captive. He keeps them stuck to that. Now, you don't have to raise your hands. I mean, I don't know who can identify with that. But, you know, you speak to people that they're looking for their wife. They're praying for the wife. They're praying for the husband. But they're just so busy at this stage of their life. You know, there's so many things. Then you speak to people that they just got married and life changed, you know, and we are just so busy. Then you get people that just have the first one, and I mean, we've been through that, we know that, and I understand that, and I respect that, and all of that, but it's just so busy. Then you speak to single mom, or you speak to a dad, which is so busy. You speak to people with children that's a little bit older, and they tell you, you know, just as soon as the holiday is over, then it's going to be a bit more normal, and then I'm going to do it. And then you speak to people that is busy, they're looking forward towards retirement, and one day when I retire, then one day, then I'll have time. Then I'm going to do it. Only problem with that perception that we continuously have, and like I say, it's across the board. We live as if those are days that are added to our lives here on earth. Do you know that God has already determined the number of your days here on earth? It's scary. I know I don't want to go down that route, but sometimes we have to think about that to get an internal perspective. If I had to put up your clock up there, none of us know that. The clock wouldn't go the other way, and another day, and another day, and the next year. What am I trying to say to you? We should make the most of every moment. We should live today as if it's our last. We should live today as if I know, listen, I've got 10 more years to do. I need to plan in those 10 years what I need to do. I used the example in the first service. You had to go to the doctor this afternoon just for normal routine examination. Doctor says to you, listen, bad news for you. Not that life is in our hands, but according to what we see here, according to all the medical records and all of that, we give you another year to live. How would your prayers change? How would your time change? How would you live for God? What would suddenly be on your scale that would have not been there? How would your priorities change? And it's a constant thing. I constantly, listen, even where I am today, I constantly have to ask and fight for the things that is priority in my life. Even good stuff that I have to continuously tell myself, am I still going in the direction that God has called me? I'm still busy. Or knew I need to give certain things and responsibilities to others that God has assigned that so that I can do what God has called me. Time is too precious for me. People, you can call it middle age crisis. You can call it whatever you want to call it. When you realize that what we have here on earth, even from the day that you were born to the day that you die, and if it's 80 or 90 years, that is swallowed up in eternity. We'll one day sit there and we're going to sit, you know, there's, yes, thousands and millions of years ago back there on earth. You know, those 80 years that we had there. I mean, imagine this is how long it's going to be. We were so stupid. If we could just make some, you know, we will have that kind of conversations. But God says you've got something to sow this morning. Make the most of that. Don't let the enemy tell you you're insignificant. Paul was at that place in the church of Philippians when he writes the letter to the Philippians. Now listen here. He writes this. You will always, listen, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Now, just to give you some background, when Paul writes that letter, Paul is in house arrest for 2 years. Can't leave that. I've been in house arrest this past week. Okay, it was terrible. And I say house arrest due to administration responsibilities. I was tied to my desk and the sun starts coming out there and you're like, I just want to go out there, but I've got a responsibility. I need to sit down in front of my computer. I need to finish certain things because certain people are waiting for certain stuff and I need to meet certain people. I'm on Skype calls. I'm for 3-4 hours just busy with meetings. And I'm like, oh, can I just get out of this place? But I know there's a sense of responsibility. Now, this is just responsibility. And I know some of us, we've got office jobs, and you wish you could just be there on the beach and do all that. But Paul, imagine, none of us has been in, is there anyone in this place that's been arrested for 2 years in your house? And can I just see? So we just keep quiet and just listen to Paul. Paul's been in 2 years in house arrest. But Paul, listen what Paul did. Paul didn't allow the circumstances to dictate whether he's going to sow or not. He could have sat there, have a pity party and say, you know, pray for me. I feel sorry. I've been in this house, you know, haven't seen the sun. No, but Paul chooses to write the letter to the Philippians to encourage them. And the amazing thing about that letter, the main thing that stands out about that letter is one word, joy. Wow, joy. Imparting joy when you're in a circumstances of anything but joy. I mean, there is only God that can do that in our lives, huh? How can you encourage somebody? How can you lift somebody up when you yourself is in this pit? And you're like, oh, please help me to find joy. But Paul would write that to the people. He didn't allow his circumstances to determine the message he's going to pass on. So often we want to allow the circumstances, whatever's happening around us, and we filter it through that, and our message changes. Christ inside of us is the one that can change that. Now, that part of the scripture in verse 24 says this, listen to it. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So what is Paul saying here? Paul says, listen, I've done my share here, or I would love to be with Christ. I'm in this situation, but it is better that I still stay on. Now, I want you to meditate upon that scripture for a moment. Who is there in your life that you still need to impart to? And I'm not talking about our children, obviously. But that we would know if we had to write our names into that story in the family of God, that we must say, or that we were able to say, I really want to be with Christ, but it's better that I still are here. It's for your concern, for why I'm here is because I've got a role to play in you. There's still a role to play. There must be somebody. I hope so. If not, God wants to write that person into your story, or you into that person's story, or part of his story, so that we be able to say, you know what? I want to be with Christ, but it's better for your concern or for your sakes that I'm still here. Amen. Huh? Isn't that amazing when God writes us into his story? When God says, listen, you've got something to sow. You can make a difference in somebody's life. Don't tell yourself you're too busy. Listen, it's not going to change. Can I give you good news or bad news? I don't know what you want to see it as, bad or good. It's not going to change. Busyness is not going to go away. If that's going to be your excuse, good luck. I've had some of my most busiest weeks. You know, in times like that, you just sit down and you ask yourself, Lord, I still want to do what you called me to do. I still want to be effective. I just need to look at how I plan, what I do. But certain things is non-negotiable for me. I don't cut in certain things just because stuff is busy, just because I'm in different seasons. Certain things are non-negotiable. You've got to fix that. You've got to sort that out in our lives, because there will always be a competition for that. For our time, for our attention. This world is trying weekly to gather a lot of noise towards you just to get your attraction, just to get you to lure you away into that place of rather be here. Just find this place. Find this. Do this. As opposed to what God wants us to do. Last Sunday, we were having the baptism. Those of you who've been here would remember what a special moment we had at the back there. You know, and what was special to me in that baptism was when Carl asked some of those people just to testify how many people mentioned other people's names. They would say, listen, if I'm thankful here today, because standing here today because of X, Y, and Z that spoke into my life, that were there for me, that prayed for me, that says something to me. At our men's camp, the same thing this year, people would get up and just say, it was because of him, it was because, I won't say her, because there weren't any hers at the men's camp. But the amazing thing is, we can sow together. You're not on your own. That the journey for somebody to come to Christ, for the harvest to come in, there are a couple of people whose names are written in that story. They would say, you know what, it was due to that one that prayed for me. It's due to that one that day when I was down, that you were there for me. I am 2014 at our men's camp there. I was we came to the front. Sias, Pastor Sias was there, and he called us to the front, and I was standing there. Carl was standing next to me there. And at that stage, they were still in Windhoek pastoring the church there. And there's a prophetic word that went out, and he said, you know, one day you two are going to minister together while we were still in the region. And said, he's going to be your wingman on the side, as you, and you have specific roles, but we didn't know that God is going to move certain things. And today, well, 2015, what happened is they moved here, and we became not just brothers, but in many, many ways, co-laborers, much closer. But Paul would write this, and I want you to see this. In Acts 15, verse 37, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. So what happened here? Paul writes this letter, and he says to them, listen, Mark can't come with me. Don't bring Mark, because Mark is in Mark deserted me. Mark wasn't faithful. Okay, this is not Mark there at the back. Okay, just have to say this. I just preach scripture now. Okay, stick to the. I can put somebody else, but then I wouldn't preach scripture. Okay, so what happens here? Paul says, listen, he hasn't been faithful. Now, I want us to distinguish between the love of God and faithfulness, because God loves us unconditionally, okay? You cannot do anything to earn God's love. He loves us equally here this morning. But faithfulness, or our growth, is tested according to our faithfulness, okay? So Paul says, listen, he got distracted. He started doing other stuff, and he's not helpful, and you're going to see in the next scripture. And it's so important this morning, people, that we don't get confused with those. The goodness of God versus faithfulness. When God says, listen, you've got certain responsibilities, just do that. Because in that moment, God tests us. And as we are found faithful, we advance to greater responsibilities. Now look at this. I want you to see this. First, we have Paul saying, no, don't bring Mark with me. A couple of years later, he writes this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9 to 11. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Another one deserted. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. It's not Dalmatians, okay? Only Luke is with me. Now, listen. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. Amazing. What happened in these few years? Something shifted. Something took place in Mark's life that Paul would say, listen, from don't bring him to bring him with me or with you, because he's helpful to me in ministry. Who are you helpful to in ministry? In this body? I mean, I have a lot of you that's very helpful to me. But you're supposed to be helpful to others as well in this church, that others would be able to say, bring him because he's helpful to me in ministry. I need him. I mean, I can talk about our cell groups. Some of us are supposed to be in leadership roles. God has bestowed that upon you. He's prepared you for that. And God is saying this morning to many of us this morning, I sense there's a second chance for you to get on, as with a Mark. Mark might have missed the mark, might have missed the moment. But there was grace for him to come back. And I just sense God is giving many of us an opportunity to come back to that place of helpfulness in the ministry. I stood there at the back while we were worshiping. I look at the audience, you know, and always just trusting God for what God wants to do other than what I had in mind. And I could just stand there and I look at, she's not even here, she's actually serving at the back there, Setu. And we're busy building a place here on the side, you know, with a little bit of knowledge that I have, but God has given people, placed people around me that's so much more capable than I am in that area, that she would take control of that week after week of that meeting, and together we're doing this. Not my name written there, but us as a team, us as a church, because there are certain people that have raised their hands. Well, that's just specific to what we are doing there, but there are many more other places that God has called all of us to say, listen, put up your hand, go into the harvest field, sow, but don't sow on your own. Because sometimes we feel, you know what, just because I can't do it, I'm not going to do it. But God has placed people around you. And we need to figure out, who are those closer relationships? People, some of you are called to walk closer in this body than others. Nothing wrong against, it's just God has got a unique set of skills. And when we come together and we lock shields within this body, we become more effective. Think about that in terms of cell groups. Think about that in terms of worship. There's certain people that are called to stand next to you that you're supposed to work together because we sow together and we're more effective. Amen. You're very quiet. Or do I? Huh? Is that not the truth? You know what is special to me? After the first service, I had three ladies come to me. Freddie spoke about the old Tannies and the old Mensa last week. They're not here. They were old Mensa. Now, forgive me for that, but they wouldn't be angry with me. But I say that they are advanced in age. Okay. And they came to me and they shared this story with me, which was so special to me. They said, you know, we've been listening to this guy. You know, there's guys that are going around and talking about the missions in the Amazon. Probably some of you saw that. And they wanted to come to us, but anyway, didn't work out in the program yet. But they went to listen to them. And they testified about their journey in the Amazon, reaching out to nations. But here's the thing, and I knew that was what God wants to do through those people. Is Almut said to me, and there I dropped the name anyway, so she's the oldest member anyway, isn't she?
She just turned 80.
She turned 80. Listen to this story. She turned 80 now, and I'm going to tell you what she's just started now. So she said, you know, when we went through that thing, and then while we were there, the Lord said to us, or asked us, where's your Amazon? So we're going to go out to the Amazon. That's fine. We can go. And we're going to go into the nations. But it starts at home. So what we've done is we saw there's a need. We're going to go to the state hospital from now on and start a new ministry and reach out there every week. In actual fact, we've been there last week. We just want your blessing on that. Wow, man. I love that. I love that. 80 and you take that on. That is just amazing. Don't write anybody off. God said, I'm not writing you off, you know? And I'm just like, God, I love this God moments. I love those moments when we can just hear your voice and we can just get our running shoes. An 80-year-old lady that's coming here and say, listen, I'm going to put on my running shoes and I'm going to run for Jesus into the hospital and just do what God. And you're going with her. Okay, so if you're above 75, you qualify. Amen. And all I'm saying to you is there's so much in the kingdom. This morning, we can sow together, we can combine our strengths and what God has placed inside of us so that His name is glorified. Amen. On a Thursday morning, I'm closing with my last point. Quentin gave me a call, you know, and he didn't know that he's calling himself right into my sermon with what he's been asking me because I was busy preparing on Thursday. And he said to me, Jaco, you know what? I've been sowing into these people's lives. I've been doing so much. I brought them closer to me. I gave so much, you know, and then it just boomeranged. Yeah. It didn't work out. And it's the result of the choices that those people made. And I'm really feeling guilty. I don't know what I should do. Do I have to do more? Or, you know, and this is the thing. Sometimes you have to make a choice and just stop there. Because the enemy wants to allow us to feel guilty. Just do a little bit more, and it's because you didn't do enough, and now that's why and that is not from God. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we sow into people, and then they vomit on us. And you give your time, you give your love, you give your everything, and they would just... And can I say that to you? It's going to happen quite often with us, if we're really going to love. Because love is vulnerable. We cannot love without becoming vulnerable, or truly love without becoming vulnerable. And that's fine. But what we've done to them was unto God, not unto them. You know, what they do with what we do to them, it's between them and God. All we have to do is just sow. It's up to God to make that grow. But it's also up to them to make a decision. And sometimes Jonah needs to be thrown overboard across the ship, you know, because Jonah didn't want it. The people, the sailors, they all started to keep Jonah in the boat. And God says, no, Jonah needs to go. Because Jonah's salvation or restoration is in the stomach of that stinky fish. Because this is unfortunately the route where we sometimes have to go. God would talk to us gently, would call us, please. It's almost like with our kids, you know, that sometimes you're like, I don't want to go there, but please don't go there, please. But I know the consequences on this side. I know what I have to do, the measures I have to take in order to get them back into that place. So you would do that gently first, and you would hope that the light comes on and you hear me. And then we go down that route, and then eventually we end up into the fish, which was God's grace by anyway. That was God's grace. So I'm trying to say to you, it's not our responsibility this morning to make things grow. Don't carry that burden. We were not designed to carry that burden. All God is saying to us this morning is, sow the seed. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 9. Can I have the band here? Then it forces me to land the plane. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and this is finances, but I want you to see the spiritual aspect of the seed as well, because the whole theme about seed is running from Scripture. Genesis 8, verse 22 says, while the earth remains, God says this, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Then 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So here's the thing, what's happening. God has placed, if you sit in this room this morning and you say to me, Yaku, Jesus Christ is my Savior. There was a day when I surrendered my life, when I turned over control of my life to Christ. Something took place, when he writes here in 1 Peter, is an incorruptible seed was placed inside of you. Only if you surrender to Christ. And you carry that seed this morning that not only busy transforming you into the image of Christ, but it also urges you to release that into the world. Two things, love God and love your neighbor. Those are the two things. So as it draws me to Christ to become more like Christ, at the same time, my love for Paul would write, and I will talk about that next week. The love of Christ would compel me to do certain things that I've never done before, to go into places that I've never been before, because the love of Christ, that incorruptible seed. See, for something to bring forth life, there needs to be a sower, there needs to be a womb, but there also needs to be a seed. And God has already placed the seed inside of us. He's looking for a sower out there. He's already prepared the wombs of the people out there of the lost and dying world, and he's just looking for a sower and saying, I'm willing, God, here I am, like a Jeremiah. Wow, man. God writes us into his story. Not because we are so special, man. It's just because God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. It's a story. Now it's just a fictional story. I just want you to listen to this for a moment, and then we're going to end in prayer. They tell this story about Jesus when he left earth and he went to heaven. And maybe one day we'll see the real picture and the real story, okay? So just for a moment, it's just for the sake of the sermon. Bear with me here. And when he arrived in heaven after he's been on earth for so many years, the angels were waiting there and they just applaud him, saying, welcome back. Because listen, Scripture talks about him leaving his place in heavenly places, coming down to earth. Philippians 2 talks about that. So they welcome him back and they say to him, yeah, wow, Jesus, welcome back. Did the people appreciate what you've done for them down there? And Jesus said, no, not really. And I said, but did you pass the message on to all the people, and how are they going to know about what you've done down there on earth? And Jesus says, yeah, I've passed the message on to a few of them, a Peter, a John, and a James, and a few others. And they tell the story. They said, and Gabriel stood there, knowing the human nature of us. And he says to Jesus, but do you have a plan B? And Jesus says, no. It's only up to them to tell the others. And today we are here as a result of many that's been before us, that continued with a good message, that continued to go out there, that paid with their lives, that paid horrendous prices just so that we could be here. And God continues to build His church. And it's up to me and you this morning to take up that role, to say, God, here I am. I'm a sower tomorrow morning when I go out of my house into my workplace. I'm a sower. Jesus, we thank You this morning for Your presence. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're in this room this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You want to bring us to those places that You've prepared beforehand, to those people that You've prepared beforehand. Every eye closed for a moment. I want us just for a moment to think about this. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I don't know what you've been doing this past week. I don't know what you've been busy with this past month. But I'm asking you this morning, is your heart beating for Christ this morning? And that's the only thing that matters to you. Christ, Christ, Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If somebody would have been able to put a stethoscope on your heart, would he hear that your heart is beating Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? And would he be able to say, listen to me, don't just tell me your heart is beating for Jesus and there's no fruit in your life. Are there any good works that's proving that your heart is beating for Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? And if you are this morning at that place where you're not in the relationship, when you say, I need to get back into that place of relationship with Christ. Or maybe you've never been in that relationship. Maybe this is your first time this morning. While nobody's looking around, I want to give you the opportunity to step away from that old self, to step away from that selfish lifestyle, to surrender to Christ and say, Jesus, here I am. Don't you want to raise your hand wherever you are, if that's you, and say, Jacob, pray with me. I need to surrender to Christ. I need to come to a complete standstill where I am right now. I need to repent. I need to change my direction. I'm going in the wrong direction, but this morning I choose Christ. If that's you, nobody looking around, just give me indication. Say, that's me. Jacob, I need that prayer. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank You. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You draw us into those places, Lord, of intimacy, into those places of meeting reality, into those places of just having honest conversation with ourselves and You, Father. Father, thank You over the next coming days and weeks that You will continue with us, minister to us, change our hearts, mold us, Lord, into those laborers that You want us to be this morning. I want us for a moment just to turn to the person next to you, and it's something that happened to me the past few days and more than 1 week. Is I want to say this with love, you know, because I'm just going to be quite honest and frank and really vulnerable here with you of where I am. And you know, you walk and sometimes you just see people that you've never seen before, but you know they've been with us. And I say this in love, but you know that probably they're not at that best place anymore. They've nibbled themselves away. And I'm not trying to do something legalistic here. Hear me out. I'm very concerned with the trend that I'm seeing, not just here, worldwide. Currently as it is, there's a worldwide trend that church attendance is going down on a Sunday, all across, which says to me it's spiritual. It's not something just, and I'm not trying to get a legalistic approach towards this. Hear me, sometimes we've got other stuff to do, that's fine. But I'm talking about if that becomes a trend in your life, when you find constantly better things than being in the presence of God and being in the believers of God with other people. There's nothing that can compare this morning to what we have here. God has designed that. God has designed that for you to put a stop button on your week. And I'm probably going to preach on that some another time when God releases me. To push the stop button and say, God, it's only You now. It's only You and my brothers. Nothing matters. There's something that's supposed to happen in that moment. People, we don't realize what happens there. But anyway, and I see that tendency, and God is, you know, you go around and you think, oh, I've seen that person long, because our church has just grown to that place. You haven't seen each other for a long while. And my heart goes out and says, Jesus, I just trust that that person's still with You. That this person's heart is still beating with such an fire inside of them, because they want to be in the presence of others. And I think God was leading me this morning, or us this morning, and this is what we're going to pray, for the lost amongst ourselves. I say this with love and respect. How many people have had encounters? How many people have sat in our midst? How many people has been here? How many people would be able to say here this morning, I've heard this news. I've been here before. I've heard, listened to this song. I've been in that presence. I've been in that church service. How many of us would sit there, but we're still not at the place where we're supposed to be? You can call what you want to call it. You can say, Yaku's trying to fill the church. Y'all are trying to fill the church, quite honestly, y'all, because I want your presence. I need you. I love you. And I know God has placed so many people out there that's probably nibbled themselves away. Can we call them back this morning? Can we just for a moment just bring, and you don't have to mention names, please don't do that, out of respect for those people. But I sense that God wants to put certain people on your heart which you know. You're probably going to see them this week, and all I'm going to ask you is just pray for them. Just call them back into the flock. Just call, if God releases you to do more, do that. But can we just for a moment call all our lost sheep, all those ones that sometimes have been in our presence, our brothers and sisters that we probably didn't care about, and we might have to put up our hands and say sorry and apologize and say, we've deserted you, forgive us. But then some of us walked away, but we're going to call them back. Can we do that? Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's pray together. You can turn to the person next to you. Let's come in agreement with that. Don't do it on your own. This is the beauty of family. We can agree. It becomes stronger anyway. I can just say that. If you pray together, your prayer is stronger. Amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.